Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Ask me, ask Eliza anything. It's time to ask me all your questions. Leave them in the Instagram comment section. Leave them on your Twitter or leave them on your Facebook. We'll see them, we'll read them, then we'll give you answers. You know it, I've got it. I've got the answer, You ask me.
Boy. Okay. Hi. This is Ask Eliza Anything, where we answer your questions that you ask Eliza.
Is this how you open your own podcast?
No. On my podcast, I just say the same thing every time to make it easy.
All right. You know what? As my mistake, as a leader, I tried to dole out responsibility.
You didn't like that.
And it really bit me in the butt.
What was that? I mean, I said, hey, it's a podcast. You're here. Welcome. Hello.
Your face is bright pink.
Because I wasn't prepared.
Well, you got to be ready. You're like baby hamster bright pink. You're like, oh, my big break.
Is that here I go. Yeah, this is my big break.
This is it. Oh, my big
break. It's introing this.
Don't shit the bed. Shit the couch. You guys got questions. We got answers.
What I said, basically.
Entering Christmas of next Tuesday of this pandemic. Been almost coming to you from the bunker. You guys are hopefully in parts of the world that have opened up. Hopefully you're back to work at your jobs. A lot of you are stuck with roommates you don't like, dealing with wedding problems. I feel very qualified to answer your questions. So we're here and we've got a suspicious Chinese dog. I've had her since December. Tianfu is really figuring out where she belongs in the world. And I think she thinks she belongs growling at people. So that's tough for me.
She's decided she doesn't like me.
Yeah, that was weird. She was just staring at you growling yesterday. But in her defense, you were bent over. Like you were hunched over.
I bent over to look at her because she was staring at me.
You can't do that.
I was trying to get on her level.
Everyone knows you have to sit upright and not make eye contact with a dog.
Do you think it's because we were just in the same room for so long and she was protecting you?
That's the thing. We have to lock her in the office with us because she doesn't like to be without me, but she barks at anybody that comes to her house to do like a service call. She's fine.
Okay.
I don't know that she's that bright, but she's sweet baby. I'll take a dumb kid who's athletic any day over an asshole. Kick it.
Old_Taylor. Do you think confiding in your significant other and going to them with all your problems is a good alternative to therapy?
No, that is completely unhealthy. That's codependence at its peak. If your significant other's like, you can tell me your problems, that's narcissism. Not a word I throw around a lot, but that's very weird. Because even if that person is a qualified psychiatrist or a therapist, you can't be open and they're probably not trained to diagnose that problem.
But like you go to probably your husband with your problems, like he hears everything.
He does. And
you tell him everything.
But it isn't an all, like I would still go to therapy if I believed in it. No, I'm just kidding. I would still go to therapy. Because it's just you're working out. That's a trained professional who can unpack and ask the right questions. Versus when he and I talk, it's just me being like, yeah, and here's another funny thought. Or it's something more personal, like when you don't do the dishes, here's how it makes me feel. And you're like, okay, I did the dishes. Therapists can unpack mentally what you're going through. It's okay to rely on your significant other, but as an alternative to therapy, no. Had you just said, is it okay to confide in them? The answer would be, of course.
Yeah.
Spend that money. Use that insurance. Get that shrink. Get that prescription. Enjoy yourself.
Hi, Eliza and Emily. My wife is really terrible at recognizing actors and actresses when we're watching TV. About once per day, she will say, "Is that the guy from blank?" But it never, ever is. How do I respond in a way that doesn't hurt her feelings? Should I just agree even when I know it's wrong? I feel like a jerk saying, "Actually, that's the guy from Breaking Bad," or whatever.
Really?
For context, we're both women in our 30s, if it matters. Love the pod.
It does matter because it's weird that the other woman isn't as bad because usually, you know, like moms... Or like, oh, isn't that, my mom referred to John Krasinski once as that Polish actor. So.
How we all know him.
I once referred to The Fugitive as the prequel to U.S. Marshals. So, I don't know. Does she have a sense of humor? Because I mean, ideally you could make fun of her and it would be a funny joke that like she doesn't know anyone.
Yeah, don't give her the wrong info. Don't say yes, because then what if she tells someone else and then she's wrong and then it's embarrassing for her?
Yeah, you don't want to embarrass her, but maybe bring up like, yeah, you're really bad at that. And hopefully she has enough of a sense of humor to be like, yeah, I am. All white people look alike to me. Help. I think that's fine. I'd like to think that you're in the kind of marriage that you guys could take that in stride. But yeah, you don't want to feel like you're living with someone who has dementia. That's not Michael B. Jordan. That's Megan Fox. But good for you. They both do have eyes.
Okay. We have a question where I'm going to ask you two questions because the first one is context because this person messaged us in May of 2019. We never saw it. They followed up today.
Psycho.
No. Okay. So the first question from 2019.
I can't. I have no context
for
that
I'm giving you the context.
Is it going to be about being out in public and shaking hands? Because I won't understand.
Well, but there's a follow-up from today.
Is it about not wearing a mask? Because I won't get it.
I'm a 28-year-old female and I have a major crush on a bartender at a local bar. Ever since I met her, I have stopped in multiple times a week for the last month. I shamelessly flirt with her and we have intense eye contact. She even sends me off with hugs. I give her my phone number and she actually texted me. The problem is that she has a boyfriend, which I found out on social media. She's never come out and actually mentioned him in conversation and by all accounts is straight. My question for you, is she interested in me? Is she just being nice because that's literally her job? She just wants decent tips. I can't shake the feeling that there's something more between us. P.S. She knows I'm gay. So now, today's follow-up. I know that my previous message was never addressed, but I have new information. Okay. I feel like I did ask this. I wonder if it got... Okay.
No, I specifically remember this episode. You came in, you were like, this is the dumbest question I've ever read. When I go to a bar, no, it's for hugs and kisses.
This is a good question. Okay, I have new information that I need advice on. Since my first post, said bartender, let's call her D, and I have become really good friends.
Uh-oh.
I even told her that I have a crush on her and that I respect her as a person and as a friend, so I will not put her in any situation to make her uncomfortable. She told me that our friendship means the world to her. She doesn't want to lose me to bad decisions made under our very obvious sexual tension.
Ooh.
Note, she has told me that she is bi, but she has never dated a woman before. I can accept just being friends with her. I've had...
But she's like, but I fucked so many.
I've had straight girl crushes before and managed to not act on them. It sucks, yes, but I really love her as a person.
Okay.
I guess my question for you guys is, do you think D is just afraid of her real feelings for me? Or do you think she's just not interested in dating women?
Interested.
Love you guys in pod. Really P.S. Bi. She's no longer a bartender. We text every day and we constantly flirt with each other.
I have to be honest. I am a, what am I? A cis woman?
That doesn't have to do with your sexuality. That's oh like my God,
don't
gender.
Lecture me.
You're a straight.
A straight, non-girl kissing.
Okay, what is that? So straight. What is that, a one or a six on the Kinsey scale? One end or the other? I forget which one is straight and which one is gay.
I don't fucking know. Here's what I am. I'm saying cisgender because there's no, it's not, like my gender isn't fluid. Like, yeah, okay. There are days that I don't really enjoy wearing dresses, but I guess I don't know. You know what? Give me your number. I was only meaning to say that from my very straight prerogative, my heterosexual female who identifies as a female prerogative, I do feel like there is that blurred line with like girls, right? If she's saying, and I don't give me any hate mail. If she's saying she's bi, but from what I gather, like hasn't ever hooked up with a girl, it could be like, there are women that I find so beautiful, like that you want to touch them. I did a movie recently and we cast this beautiful actress named Rebecca Rittenhouse.
Who's in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Who is so beautiful. It was actually difficult to focus on my lines. And I got on stage that night and I was like, all the guys that sexually harass women at work, like I get it now. Like I couldn't stop staring at her and I just wanted to like caress her face. And I told her this. And I I don't want to have sex with this person.
No, but she was just like in person, just like stunning and so nice and like great smile. And you're just
fucking
like
smart. Like you couldn't find a reason to not like her.
No, I was just eating fruit snacks in the corner, staring at her.
You're like, why is Eliza, my betrothed, talking to another? She was, my point is, she was so beautiful. I was so
charming.
I hope she's listening. I was so attracted to her physically, but it stopped once I could tell her she was like, I didn't want to, you know what? I did want to kiss her, but I didn't want to have sex with her. I didn't want to kiss her. That would not, that would be weird for me.
No, but she was somebody that also was very like charming, charismatic. Great. So you just want to talk to her.
Yes. So I think for some women that gets blurred. And especially if the other woman is a lesbian, there's that episode of Sex and the City where Charlotte befriends like all these power lesbians. And she's like, do you go down? And Charlotte's like, well, no, but I'm just loving the connection with these women. She's like, honey, if you don't dive on our muffs, then you can't wear Prada loafers or something.
Right. They kick her out.
Now, granted, like you can identify as whatever you want without actually having sex. I don't know. I don't care what you do at all. I don't care what about, and I mean that in the nicest way. I do think that sometimes when the other girl's a lesbian and you're, there's a connection, I think a straight girl can be like, well, maybe, but the fact that she hasn't acted on it, she doesn't know. She might kiss you and be like, wow, that is really uncomfortable for me. But that's why it's like flirting is just flirting because it's so safe. It doesn't feel to me like she actually is bi. And if she is, I think you might want to consider the fact that she's bi and yet hasn't made a move on you, which means she may not be attracted to you.
I think it also could be that thing of like, yeah, it's fun for her to like flirt and chat. Like everybody's at home. Mm-hmm. There's no pressure on it. She can just like text with you and never have to do anything. And that's easy.
I have lesbians in my life that I'm not like, just like, I do.
I have lesbians in my life.
Michelle doesn't count because she's married and I think she's the grossest person ever.
Well, and you've been friends for 7 years.
That's why she's the grossest person ever.
Yeah.
But I've definitely befriended lesbians who I have a loose textual relationship with. And it's not that there's a sexual connection as much as there is that thought as a straight woman like, oh, I wonder if that lesbian's attracted to me. Mm. It's an interesting dynamic. It's different than just texting with a straight person. But I think moreover, the fact that she knows that you have feelings for her and she doesn't want to act on it. Cause you see people all the time, like I'll set it on fire. Let's make out. I think you might want to move on from crushing on this one.
Yeah. You've told her how you feel. Yeah. It's, you know, the ball's in her court and she's not doing anything with it.
And that's okay. She might not have the ovaries for it. She may not have the attraction, or she may, and she really just wants to be friends. But either way, it's kind of a no. Mm-hmm. So that's that. And I respect you guys not putting each other in compromising situations. And it's great that you're friends. And it is nice to have someone to like flirt text with. Mm-hmm. Now, if the texting gets inappropriate, like if she's initiating sexual texts, then I'm just putting this out there. You don't want to feel like she's using you. We had a similar question on a to-be-released episode about someone who was about a lesbian who her roommate slept with her and then the roommate was just like, I'm not into this. And like kind of just used her to experiment to see how she felt. And she felt very used. You don't want to feel used. Mm-hmm. You don't want either of you to feel used. So I would just sit this one out. Stay friends.
Yeah.
And continue to like have sexual thoughts about her. Oh, that's what I was saying. If she's texting you sexual stuff, you have to think about the tone you set. If you're like making sexual jokes and she's reciprocating, fine. But if it's always her, you don't want to be the outlet for that, especially if it's breaking your heart. So think about your own boundaries.
Yeah.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
It happened to me. I didn't think it would, but it happened to me. I had a nasty bout of postpartum depression. Now, there's nothing to be ashamed about in talking about what you're dealing with, and there's nothing to be ashamed about in talking about it with someone. I definitely saw a therapist these last couple weeks because, you know, I spend my time giving advice to others, but I could use a little advice myself. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. I'll tell you what, when you're already stressed or anxious, the last thing you want to do is battle traffic and sit in a waiting room and get your parking validated. I'm sorry, is that just an LA thing? You don't need to add all that. You can just sit in the comfort of your own home or a chair you like outside, and you can talk to someone from BetterHelp. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time. No additional charge, and it doesn't hurt their feelings. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Eliza today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/Eliza.
I'm busy. And this time of year gets even busier. I've had my baby, I'm back to work, I'm at meetings, I'm on tour, I'm running around, and I don't always have time to sit down for a meal with my family. Sometimes I get home from set so late and I just need to eat something nutritious and go to bed. And that's why I like Factor's fresh, never frozen meals, because they're dietitian approved and they're ready to eat in just 2 minutes. So no matter how busy I am, and I'm busy, I always have time to get a nutritious, great tasting meal. Factor has over 35 different meals and more than 60 add-ons to choose from every week, so I never get bored. I'm trying to do less meat in general, and they have wonderful vegan and veggie options. I just made a vegan mushroom marsala, and I made an onion risotto. Just because you're eating vegetarian doesn't mean you can't eat deliciously. It had roasted garlic green beans. It was scrumptious. Head to factormeals.com/Eliza50 and use code Eliza50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month. That's code Eliza50 at factormeals.com/Eliza50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month while your subscription is active.
Well, it's finally happening. The weather is finally getting warmer. So it's time to say goodbye to the jackets and cozy sweaters we've been hibernating in all winter. And it's time to say hello,
bonjour,
to shorts and t-shirts. And if you've been wanting to update your wardrobe for the long haul without spending a fortune, Quince is for you. I talk about Quince a lot because I really believe in a sustainable capsule wardrobe. And there's no reason you can't have a sustainable, timeless wardrobe for every season. And Quince has got you covered with premium linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30, washable, silk tops, hello. And the best part is all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Dressing well shouldn't break the bank. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. Look well. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/Eliza for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/Eliza to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/Eliza.
This next question is anonymous. Again, I'm diving in. Some things that hadn't popped up before are now popping up, so it's old. I don't know if this person is still in this position, but let's see. Okay, anonymous. I'm 21 and have severe commitment issues, so I only had like 1.5 boyfriends and one unsuccessful sexual experience.
What does that mean? I bet it was successful for him. Yeah.
And I don't see it changing anytime soon because I get so anxious in a relationship. Mm. I guess I still have a little bit of growing up to do. Anyway, one of my closest friends is also a virgin, and when we drunkenly decided to sleep together if we turned 21 still unexperienced, then we politely ignored the decision and we haven't done it. But I know if I want to, we will. Finally, the question, should I do it? I know it sounds childish, but I really want to do it already. Thank you so much. Sorry for the details.
Is it a guy and a girl?
Yes. And the girl is asking us now.
This is a movie plot.
In the film Crossroads, Britney Spears and Justin Long are friends that are going to have sex.
That's a matchup.
They never have, and they're like in a hotel room and she's in like Britney Spears lingerie. And then she's like, I don't want to. And Justin Long is like, okay.
Okay, I've got a massive erection. What do I do with it?
And then, you know, and it worked out for her.
You know.
Because they weren't into each other.
It's on stage, I talk about empowerment and all these things. And, you know, there's this fine line between empowerment and doing something just because you're supposed to be casual about it. By virtue of the fact that you're a woman and there's a release of oxytocin and there are emotions and you are taking another person and putting them inside you. Sex means more to men. If you look at it just physically, they're sticking it in thing. And as a woman, you have to like host a penis. Like it's, you're taking something that's becoming a part of you when you fit together. Huh. And when it's two lesbians, it's just so much oxytocin. So on the one hand, like sex should be fun and it should whatever, but your first sexual experience, it might be something that you want with someone you are sexually attracted to. It might be. And you can have sex, you can spend the rest of your life having sex with randoms just for funsies. But I don't know how attracted, I mean, he's obviously attracted to because he wants to do it. I just think there's something about it that I don't think you should do it. It's not something that you need to get out of the way. And you can, it sounds like you're also saying you have so much anxiety. I think you need to get more comfortable with sex and being with someone who you are attracted to and feel safe with, because you'll have sex with this person and you'll rush through it and it won't be great. And I think that'll kind of further inform how weird you think sex is. So I think you owe it to yourself to try to have some positive sexual experiences and take it at your own pace. this thing that Hollywood has created where like you gotta have sex by a certain time. Mm-hmm. And you'll meet the right person who won't care if you're a virgin and wants to take it slow. So have some more experiences. Don't have sex with your friend.
And if you already did, sorry that we were late to getting to this question.
But like also, yeah. Also like, okay, so you're having sex with your friend and you're like cracking jokes the whole time. Like you can't have an orgasm if you're like, this is hilarious. And when you say to your friend, like, hey, would you mind going down on me? He's like, but we're friends. You're going to kiss. It's just too weird. So yeah, let us know what you did. Sorry, yeah. We're getting to this 5 years later.
Look, we get a lot of DMs. Alive. They're alive. Because they just, I just saw their message because they sent us a picture of a cat listening to Ask Eliza Anything.
Okay, you're definitely still a virgin.
No.
Kick it.
All right, Anonymous. Hello, Eliza. I'd like your opinion about a situation at work.
Oh, I'm ready.
I'm an educational assistant, EA, at a high school.
You're a teacher.
I've been there 10 years. Okay. I'm a retired teacher.
Okay.
I'm 60 years old and female.
Oh, I feel honored that you want my advice, but okay.
In January, the school hired a new AA to help in the classroom. It's her first school job. Now, this might be pre-pandemic, but you know what? We're going to go back to a world someday.
I'm ready.
It's her first school job. She's 50 years old. She's a bit rough around the edges.
She's 50?
50.
Okay.
And the woman who has asking us is 60.
Uh-oh. Clash of the generations.
And while talking to me the first day, she declares that she wears the pants in her family. TMI. The next morning I get to
actually,
work.
Actually, no, TMI would be, I don't wear pants in my family.
The next morning I get to work, walk over to my desk, and her backpack and lunch are on top of my desk. She's walking around. She has a table where she's supposed to be. Okay, whatever. I move her stuff. The second day she does it again. I kindly tell her, this is my desk. You can put your stuff on that table. She mumbles some sort of okay. She's okay with it.
I'm wearing pants.
Now she's doing another weird move. She's done this twice, like March 1st and March 9th. When I'm watching over a student at the computer in the cafeteria, she'll come over to me and say, are you okay? Do you want me to handle this? If you have somewhere to go, I've got this. I say, I'm fine. And then she always says, are you sure? I think to myself, what do you mean am I okay? I've been with the school 35 years. I know what I'm doing. So the second time she did this, I asked her why she was asking me these ridiculous questions. She said, I was just walking by. There's no reason for her to do this. I'm healthy as a horse and smart. What do we do about this woman?
You gotta nip that shit in the bud. You gotta go up to her. Senior citizen style. So go up to her when you're having dinner at 4 o'clock. Go up to her. No, go up to her and just say, I want to squash this tension. I'm saying this to you because at 60, like you don't deserve to be putting up with this crap. And I'm assuming that you're like totally normal and you're not like peeing around your desk or doing like weird, like alpha shit. Just be like, I want to squash this. It seems like from the beginning, you're out to prove something. There's plenty of room for both of us here. Be like, is there something I've done or is there something that you want to tell me or talk to me about? Mm-hmm. Because I don't want to feel this way. We're a team. And when you undermine me in front of students, I'm not sick. I've never asked for help. Like, put it out there because she can't get any ruder. So right. You may as well just be like, by the way, I see what you're doing. I've been here forever. I like my job and I want to like you. So tell me what I can do to make this better short of dying.
I've also, though, had a job where, like, I didn't have anything to do. And I would just, like, I would be like, please, does anyone have any work for me to do? I'm so bored.
Then maybe you say that to her. Maybe when she comes up and sort of, because it sounds like she, because you mentioned that you're healthy. So it sounds like she's trying to make it like you're feeble or couldn't handle it. There is a version where this is coming from a good place. And maybe you did look tired and she wanted to give you a break. There's certainly better ways to say it.
Or that she's like, please, I don't want to just wander this room. Let me.
What if she is bored? The next time she does it, you could simply say to her, is there a job that you need me to give you?
Oh, yeah.
Do you need me to give you a job? Because I can totally find one for you.
Yeah. I've got this handled, but are you looking free? For something to do?
Are you looking for something to do?
Yeah.
Big time. Just go over it. Treat her like she's not your subordinate.
In these times, get her to start wiping down some desks.
But just say to her, I'm doing fine, but would you like me to find something for you to do? And see what she says.
Yeah. Anonymous, my boyfriend is moving away in 2 weeks. This has already happened. We're very in love and happy, but don't want to do long distance. So after talking it out, we've decided to break up. How do I move on from a breakup caused by circumstance? P.S. Thanks for the laughs and advice during a real shitty time.
You just got to take it easy. Your heart, and by the way, even if you met someone amazing tomorrow, you wouldn't be able to be with them. Take it easy. I don't know if you guys are still talking. I don't know if maybe you need to not block each other, but like have like an isolation period from one another just so you can kind of let your heart heal a little bit. You just got to take it easy. You got to feel all the feelings. You've got to feel bad. You've got to feel sad. And then you've got to slowly kind of pick it back up. But the good news is it was circumstances. So the door's kind of always open. Mm-hmm. And that's great because you'll meet someone else and then you'll see how real those feelings were because you might meet someone else. It's better it's this way versus angry. Mm-hmm. Better to be sad versus sad and angry.
Yeah.
That's not always true, but still. You just gotta feel it. People are so anti-feeling stuff. Watch the sad movies and write letters and eat the food and do the workouts and just feel it. Let it filter through you like a cold. It's gotta go through you.
Yeah.
Like yeah. Corona. It's gotta go through you. Mm-hmm. Out your butt. Out your butt.
Hi, Liza and gang.
White stuff.
I'm a high school English teacher and I have a two-part question. First, do you have any teachers who stuck in your memory for any reason, good yes. or bad, from your years in school? Second, what advice do you have for teachers during this pandemic, during which we're distance learning? Feel free to use my name, Betsy Scott. I've listened to every episode, watched every special, and some of your other things on Amazon Prime and Netflix.
Thank you.
Read your book, which is now in my classroom library. Wow. And I saw you in Rockford, Illinois last April. I wear my Elder Millennial Tour t-shirt regular because it's awesome and soft.
Thank you. Emily's wearing hers right now.
Right now.
Very soft. Thank you, Betsy Scott. You sound like a progressive teacher and what America needs. Ding.
Yes. So any teachers stuck in your memory?
Yeah. So a lot of them have been great. I can't really remember like, oh, I hated that teacher. You know, some teachers were boring, whatever. I've been very fortunate. And then of course there were all the college professors. I'm like, I know you're sleepwalking through this. We know I'm not going to be a psychologist. You know, I'm not going to be a psychologist. Here's my paper. Give me the C. It's interesting you asked that. My freshman year of high school, I had an ancient civilizations professor named Mr. Cassie. Mm. And I only had him for one or two trimesters, but he stuck out in my mind as awesome. We didn't like really connect or anything, but I love the way he spoke. And I'll never forget, he would let us have snacks in class, but he would take a tax. So that means like if you had Skittles, like he got to have like four of them. And I always thought that was such a cool lesson. And it was a way of him feeling he was part of us. And the way he spoke, it had a certain like theatric vibrato to it. Mm-hmm. And I just always liked Mr. Cassie. And he always had this air of like, he knows more than everyone. And he had a cadence that kept you rapt while you listened. Mm-hmm. And I just always liked Mr. Cassie. And I don't think I took any more classes from him. I have a lot of teachers. Like Mr. Warner was my lacrosse coach and my math teacher. And I think we bonded because he always laughed at my jokes. And mm-hmm. And knew I was really bad at math and he was cool. I was in like a special math class. A lot of teachers. Anyways, my point is a couple of months ago, I was developing a show with someone and there were a lot of historical references that we needed. And of course you can Google these things, but I was like, I wonder if I could ask Mr. Cassie these questions, information that he would have readily available. So I went through like LinkedIn or Facebook. I sent him a Facebook message and I never use Facebook. I was like, hi, Mr. Cassie. It's Eliza Schlesinger. I don't know if you remember me. And he was like, of course I do. And I reached out and I said, would you mind if we had a Zoom? I have some history questions. He was so helpful and so knowledgeable. He gave me names for these characters and gave me sort of context historically. The producers flipped out over it. And this past week I was pitching to direct a movie and I had all of these religious art references that I was pretty good at looking up, but I wanted just in case there was a little bit more knowledge. And he again jumped on a Zoom with me and consulted on all of this Catholic artwork for this pitch. And he gave me a couple of extra ideas that I put into the presentation that I then sent to him. So it's just really cool as an adult, I still call him Mr. Cassie, I sent him actually the first time I contacted him was just to tell him, I just want you to know, I always thought you were such a great teacher. So yeah,
nice.
It's just, it wasn't like he made a huge difference as much as just made a small impact in terms of a teacher that I loved listening to.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure I didn't do well in that class.
I had a lot of teachers that I loved. I would. I had a lot of like female teachers I was like too close to.
So did Michelle.
It just was like, I had a teacher named Allison in first through third grade at Montessori. You called them by your first name, not to brag.
Very progressive.
Who was so cool. I had a math teacher who was cool called like Mrs. Mangum or something.
You ever have those math teachers that like dress up for it? Like, these are my number earrings.
Oh, no.
I know math is terrible.
I Miss Stefan was like very encouraged. I loved psychology, and then I wound up majoring that in college after I took her psych class in high school. Who was cool? I had a super hot teacher who looked like Paul Rudd, and I forget his name, but we were all obsessed with him.
Is he hot now that you look back?
I don't know. Yeah. I just remember that we all thought he looked like Paul Rudd, and we were like, oh my God.
We had a teacher named Mr. Way Miller, who we'd call Mr. Way Hot, and he had like a really deep voice. Kind of reminded me of Barack Obama. The answer is yes. Plenty of teachers. And then in college, of course, you always have those professors or two that just stick out in your mind.
I have a hard time remembering college. Like, I remember a lot of high school.
Well, because college, you don't have, like, a homeroom teacher, right? So you're taking all these different classes. I had cool teachers.
I also feel like the actual class part of college was, like, I remember teachers that were really cool and, like, let me be myself in high school. Yeah. In college, they don't care. So, you, like, you go in, you learn from them, and you leave. You went like, to you don't need to forge a bond.
You went to a large school, though.
I did. I went to a very large college.
The answer is yes. And what was the next question?
Do you have any advice for distance learning? Oh, God, you know what? Hold on.
I had a teacher in film school who I thought was really cool. And he was always like a little flirty, nothing inappropriate. Just like you had that feeling. You're like, I bet if I kiss this teacher. And this is so horrible. I found out that he had an affair with a student and killed himself. When I went back to the school. Yeah. And I knew that he was married. And I remember I will never forget. He made a short film and we watched in college. He was my film teacher. And it was this image of someone being like, imagine if you laid on the side of a pool and put your head in the pool and then you filmed it so that your jaw is sticking out and he was just babbling in the water. And it was about like a metaphor for being deaf or like what you hear. I forgot, but it was a cool image. Anyways, and I went back and I was like, how is he? I hope I see him. And they all got quiet and they were like, he killed himself. So it turns out, yeah, I definitely could have kissed that teacher. Anyways, what was the other question?
Any advice for distance learning for kids?
I don't have any. I'm not an authority on that. That's rough. That's a rough gig.
Good luck.
Maybe start class by playing a song. Get them in the mood. Kick it.
All right. Jen, teacher 611. Yesterday, I was able to adopt a beautiful corgi dachshund mix from a rescue. He's 7 and has a seizure disorder that is easily controlled with meds and is so very sweet.
Sweet man.
What have been your best tips and tricks in training Blanche and Tianfu? You and your comedy has meant so much to me the last few years. Thank you, Noah, for doing DPP. Love you guys. Of course, the snow peach.
I don't have any because Blanche was like out of the box. Like, hey, I'm a person. Let's go to tea. And Tianfu still remains a mystery.
Yeah.
She's not easily trained. She is very stubborn, very persistent, and seems to forget everything, even who we are sometimes. So the lesson's really been more for me, just like letting this dog be the weird version that she is.
Mm.
She's getting better slowly. I mean, getting better, just kind of letting, you know, changing slowly, but it is a process. I don't have any, like, put a dip of peanut butter under your tongue. Like, I'm not a dog person. Like, I always take dog advice because I'm like, I don't know. If you kiss them right on the mouth, sometimes they don't recoil.
I got a good kiss right in on Gracie's mouth this morning.
Get it right in.
When they're real weak, she was like in the sun and she flopped back and I was like scratching her belly and I was like, she didn't realize to be angry. Like, she wasn't quick enough to escape.
Let me put it this way. Every day since December, Tianfu has gone to get her cookie and put it on the bed. And every day we take the cookie, we put it off the bed. And we say, no cookie on the bed. Brought the cookie on the bed this morning. I think she understands, but she's like, if I just play dumb, they'll eventually give up. And she's right.
Yeah.
I'm like, do whatever you want. Just don't pee on the rug. Okay. Yeah. Pee on the rug a little bit. No, she doesn't pee on the rug.
Has she not?
We were able to toilet train her. Potty train her. Toilet train. That would be amazing.
Some cats use the toilet.
I know. That's so weird.
I don't like that. I don't want to go. What if I go into, I have one bathroom. What if I go in to use it? My cat's just sitting there.
She's taking a dump.
I don't want
close
that.
Close the door. Well, and then you say scoot over. We'll both dump out.
Your dog loves going to the bathroom with you. Not with you, but she likes watching you.
She butts her way in. And I'm like, I'm in here. And she's like, I just want to make sure. I love you so much.
Does she just stand and stare at
she
you in there?
She just leaves. She kind of walks back out.
You okay?
Smells terrible.
It's no secret that fast fashion and the demand for fashion in general is helping to wreck our planet. Well, introducing Nuuly.
Nuuly is a subscription clothing rental service. For just $98 a month, you get your choice of any six styles each month. Access to thousands of styles from more than 400 brands with inclusive sizing. And they have fast, free shipping and returns and professional cleaning in Nuuly's state-of-the-art laundering facility. Plus, the option to buy what you love. I gifted Nuuly to a friend whose daughter works in an office where you have to be presentable, and it's trendy. She gets to try out stuff. She always looks fresh at work. She always looks cute. And when she's done with it, which we usually are after wearing something for a while, she can send it right back. Nuuly is a great value at $98 a month for any six styles. But right now, you can get $20 off your first month of Nuuly when you sign up with the code ELIZA20. Just go to Nuuly.com. That's Nuuly with two U's. And enter the code ELIZA20 and sign up to get $20 off your first month. That's Nuuly.com. Nuuly with two U's with code ELIZA20. Nuuly subscription clothing rental. Change your clothes.
When you ask someone what language they took in school, usually it's like with an eye roll. They're like, French. It's like, do you speak French? No, I don't use it. I feel like a lot of us had difficulties learning a language in school. Rosetta Stone is here to change that. It's available on desktop and it can be used as an app on your phone or your tablet. Rosetta Stone are trusted experts for more than 30 years with millions of users and 25 languages offered. Rosetta Stone immerses you in many ways with an intuitive process, and you can pick up any language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Plus, with Rosetta Stone's True Accent feature, you'll get feedback on how well you're pronouncing words. That's right, you might even fool some locals into thinking you're one of them. It's like having a personal trainer for your accent. I headed to Mexico City for a little vacation, and I used Rosetta Stone to brush up on my Spanish. Just a few things, few verbs that I knew I had forgotten, and I was better. Mejor. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, Ask Eliza Anything listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/Eliza. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/Eliza today.
Can't get.
Janelle says, hey, Eliza, baby, I'm in Tovu. I got married back in October of last year. We were together for about 5 years before we tied the knot. He's a wonderful person, and we have a healthy, supportive relationship. He's stable, reliable, kind, intelligent, etc., and everything I've ever wanted in a partner and more. However, I've been feeling really distanced from him for the past couple of months, and I haven't been feeling confident in our relationship. I can't tell if my feelings toward him are lessening, my definition of love is skewed because of my upbringing and past relationships, or if I'm just dissatisfied with myself and I'm projecting those feelings onto our relationship. Background. I come from a divorced family. Mom has been divorced 3 times. Dad has been divorced twice.
How long have they been married?
They were together 5 years. They got married in October.
Okay.
Mom has been divorced 3 times. Dad has been divorced twice. So naturally, I've had apprehensions toward marriage. I struggle with mental health and have been in therapy for the past 2 years and have tried to work through these feelings. My husband has been nothing but supportive and understanding, and I've been honest with him about where I'm at emotionally. I'm applying to grad school this fall and may have to move depending on where I get accepted.
Everybody goes to grad school but me.
And I'm hoping to work through this beforehand. I'd hate to uproot his life and we end up not staying together. I know you come from a divorced family as well and want to gain your insight. What is your definition of love? How did your parents' divorce affect your views on marriage? Oh, did you have any fears or reservations about getting hitched? And if so, how did you work through them and not let them in?
Okay, that's a lot, and I can't unpack all of that. I'm going to ignore the first two parts just because, like, I don't know. Who defines love? Like, I don't know. But what?
I think the key part here is saying, like, that she's going to apply for grad school. She doesn't want to move him there and then break up with him. Like, you are halfway out the door. If you're like, I don't want him to move with me, and then we get a divorce, like, you are leaning towards divorce.
I see. I don't know. I don't know that. I think you were kind of bang on with, am I dissatisfied with myself and therefore putting it on him? I know that when I've been the most stressed out and dissatisfied with my career, it tends to not affect my marriage, but you look at your husband, you're like, yeah. And you tend to want to control the things that you can. So I would look at that. I would take a good hard look at that and ask yourself, why are you going to grad school? Like, is this something you really want to do? Are you just trying to do, you know, are you feeling suffocated? And you're, because a lot of people, when they write in, they're like, maybe I should just go to grad school. Like, for some people, it's just easy. I would talk with him regardless, because what you don't want to do is run away from the right man because you weren't happy with yourself, especially if he's willing to work through it. But if you really feel this isn't the man for you and you have concrete reasons, It's worth talking it out. Don't underestimate how damaging divorce can be and how your model for what a marriage is broken because of what your mom's been through and the fact that you came from a divorce family. I am not saying that kids of divorce can't get married. That's insane. I'm just saying, I remember when I got married, I always thought like, okay, and then, you know, if we get a divorce, whatever. Like there's a lot less weight on it when you come from that and that's what you know. The idea would be to break that pattern. So you need to have a come to Jesus and a real hard look and maybe see a therapist with him to get through, to get some breakthroughs and really get to the core of what this is. But I think the dissatisfaction with yourself might be it. Or you just married a nice guy and it just wasn't right for you. But you were together for 5 years. So I just don't know. But I think you need to see a therapist. I think you owe it to yourself. And I think about how this might affect him. He's like, my wife might not even like me. You might leave me if you go to grad school. Like, think about him hearing that. Don't just think about yourself. It's really hard for me to consider. Sometimes I say, probably not the greatest things to know. And then I think back, I'm like, yeah, if someone said that to me, I'd be so upset.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, maybe you've got a new perspective being in quarantine together for a little bit, but I think an outside party who you can be just totally honest with, like a therapist, is so great. I mean, there are so many online services right now where like you can sign up for a month and you can just talk to someone.
Sit down and ask yourself the questions, like really, and bring him. It should be a couple's thing. You know? It is also, I will say this, it is difficult to accept love from someone else. It's difficult to, and it's also kind of infuriating when the other person is like, I'm here for you, whatever you want, babe. Cause you're like, why don't you just leave? Like, leave me. I felt that in my core on our honeymoon. I was so out of my mind, exhausted, and I didn't want to be there. And I wasn't pumped about going to Italy. And I wasn't a brat by any means, but I probably like just wasn't, I could have been better. And I remember I woke up, I said I wanted to go home and I woke up in a hotel room and Noah was gone. And I honestly, even though I think I'm a great catch and I'm like, of course you want, I'm fun. Who doesn't want to be with me? I honestly thought he left. Of course he fucking left. Nobody actually gets married. Everybody gets a divorce. Of course he left. And where was he? This is like the sweetest thing. He comes back in the room. I go, where did you go? He goes, I went downstairs to call American Airlines to change our flights so we could go home and I didn't want to wake you up. And like, that's who I married. So I'm just saying there are all these things where I'm like, how far can I push someone away? And the fact they keep coming back, you have to learn to be okay with that.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you don't want that person, in which case, yeah, it's really fucking annoying. They won't go away.
Right.
You got to answer those questions for yourself.
Did I tell you what my parents did to celebrate their anniversary this year?
What?
This is how you keep the magic alive.
They went
to the zoo and they met a turtle and they fed him. They paid for a special package where you donate to the zoo and you get to, it's like a tortoise and it's really big. And they just kept getting warned, like, don't let him step on you because he's like hundreds of pounds. Yeah. So you always have to be looking at him because he's just constantly trying to step on your foot. Like that's his goal. And you're like feeding him strawberries and backing
strawberries.
Up. And they just sent me a picture of them wearing masks, petting a tortoise.
I love that.
And it was like their 41st wedding anniversary. Last year for 40, big 40, they did zookeeper for a day where they get to wash the elephants.
Well, that's it.
Like, so...
It's
have
paper,
shared
wood,
interests.
Gold, zookeeper experience, turtles.
The turtle was the like lower zookeeper package where other
times
people
are
were also allowed to be there. And my parents were like, there were like other people that wanted to pet the tortoise.
Yeah, it's not going to be like, get on your fuck me boots. We're going to Vegas. Like it can't be every time. Turtles right. And strawberries.
You adjust as the years go by. You've been together 6 years now with your marriage. Things change.
The adventure's over. It's turtle time.
Hi, Eliza, Emily, and Tino Chino. So for context, I work for a big rail company in the UK, and this week is my week to open up the office. But yesterday evening, I started to feel a bit off, scratchy throat, weird head, had a temperature on the higher side of normal. So I put a message out on our office WhatsApp asking my colleague if she would swap shifts and open the office in the morning, and if I felt okay, I would be in just after her. This was so the office didn't open late should I wake up feeling horrific. I said I was sure it was a minor cold and that the temperature raise was just a natural fluctuation, but was just erring on the side of caution and monitoring the situation. She happily agreed, and most other colleagues, there are around six of us, said absolutely don't come in if you have any doubts, apart from one particular colleague who replied that laugh and cry emoji, like, ha, 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 ha.
Yeah, I hate that one.
I hate it. I hate it.
Because it's always sarcastic. Like, LOL, you think I'm in love with you? You're like,
yeah.
You are.
Laugh, cry emoji. Temperatures do fluctuate, you know. I had already said that it was probably just one of those things that I was just being cautious. So I was annoyed by this sarcastic reply. She's a total typhoid Mary who comes into work with all manner of coughs and colds. I realize this is more of a rant than a question. But what are your thoughts on this kind of symptom shaming? Was I correct to be mindful of this rather than just carrying on regardless in these uncertain times?
Yes.
Thanks for making Wednesday my best day. Thanks to Emily for a little exchange over DM about cats and ketchup. Oh, I was told I say... What's going on? I was told I say ketchup weird.
You say it weird?
Yeah, ketchup.
Ketchup.
Cat
soup.
Ketchup.
Cat soup.
I think I say catch and not catch.
Oh, I don't care.
Anyway, typhoid Mary.
You're totally right. That's it. Ignore that person, especially if that person's like, gotta go to work above all else. You see where that person's partner is. This shouldn't have even been a question. You were so right.
So
especially
right.
Now. And the fact that you're like, I'll be in shortly after. It's not like you're like, and it's a Friday and you're like, can't make it. Obviously taking a weekend. You're fine. Ignore that person. With comments like that, it makes it very easy to write off a person. Like when they're consistently just kind of like shitty, you're like, whatever. We all know that Mary's going to write in something weird. So it's totally fine.
Yeah, I hate.
And she's going to feel like a real piece of shit. Well, this already happened, but she's going to feel real bad when it turns out you were sick and you spared everyone. She's going to feel even worse when you go in and you were sick and you get her even sicker.
Okay. Yes, it's always when you work in an office setting and one person gets everyone sick, it's so frustrating.
Yeah, so ignore her. She sounds like she'll be dead soon anyway. Can't.
Hey, Eliza, baby Armentino Chino. My question is, Eliza, what were the deciding factors for you to get a nose job? I have a large nose with a bump on the bridge that I've hated my whole life. I avoid pictures of my profile and just generally feel embarrassed, but my boyfriend loves it, tells me I shouldn't change. They sent a photo, but it's not here anymore.
No, I don't want to see a photo because I don't want to be like, whoa, that's a huge bitch.
No, I can't see a photo, so.
No. It was so long ago, to be honest. Mm. But similar to you, but by the way, like I had boyfriends and I, you know, enjoyed all the things a normal girl does. I just didn't like my profile. I didn't like people seeing it. I just knew, especially, I didn't grow up around like a lot of other kids with that kind of, like everyone had these like normal cute noses and it's just the way you grow up and the time period you grow up in, you know, we live in a lot more, even though everything's on fire now, like it's a lot more accepting now of like quote unquote flaws and differences. And you know, I felt that way as a upper middle class white girl with privilege. So I can't imagine what my friends, I had one friend who was darker black and then one who was black and Mexican. And I had a couple of other black friends just in like a, you know, a private school. Mm-hmm. And I have gone back, especially in the wake of Black Lives Matter, all this, and I've had these conversations with them about how out of place they felt, even though I was like, oh, we were all friends. Like we all did the same stuff. Like we're all the same. Mm. And I'm only saying that just to say, I can't imagine what it was like for them, especially in a time where like, you know, other colors were different and bad and not as quote unquote attractive. And if I felt that bad, I can't imagine how bad they felt. So it was just about, nobody ever said I was, you know, of course I knew that I couldn't date like the quarterback, like you just knowing that you're not as hot. And I have to be honest, a lot of times people get plastic surgery and it's the slippery slope and you're never happy with yourself. I got that nose job, even when it was swollen, I got the bandage off like a week later and I had a little pig nose. I was like, I'm so happy with this pig nose. Like even swollen, I felt awesome. Sometimes it is just that one thing. Mm-hmm. And if you can do that one thing, fucking do it. People your whole life will tell you your nose is great, but if it really bothers you this much, change it. Mm. That's it. Careful. I don't know if you're a singer. It might affect, you know, the way that you sing or things like that, or maybe just give it a beat. I don't know what it looks like, but we're not going to change the fact that like bumpy noses aren't as good anytime soon. Like there's still that underlying desire to have a teeny straight nose. So if it means a lot to you, just change it. You don't want to have a Jennifer Grey situation, but I don't think you're a celebrity. So change it. If it makes you happier to change it, everybody does shit. And a lot of times women don't even admit it. They're like, what? I just naturally, my lips got plump overnight. Mm-hmm. Change it. And then that's it. And you want to look better. You want to feel better. That's it. That's all there is to it.
Liam McSweeney, the newest Real Housewife of New York, just got a got her nose done. I think it was deviated septum or whatever. And she she posted like an Instagram about it. And was like, I'm not going to say that I like contoured my face different. I'm recovering from a surgery. It is what it is.
And it's funny, like it was so long ago that like, you know, people, the only people that ever bring it up are other people who got nose jobs or want them. It's never, no, you couldn't shame me for it. Cause I'd be like, let's look at your fucking face. no one brings it up. Just do it. Move on. Mm. And your boyfriend is probably fine with you either way.
Anonymous.
Because men don't get it. It doesn't matter how many times he tells you you're beautiful. Like, if you don't feel it, it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. Happened yesterday. Noah was like, I think you look great. And I was like, really? Because I think I look like a pumpkin. But okay.
I feel like whenever you're concerned about how you look, I'm like, what?
That's the other thing. And you'll see this as you get older. I was looking back. I've always thought I had fat thighs. And I look back when I used to make my deer haunch jokes. And I'm like, I was 90 pounds.
Yeah.
I have body dysmorphia. And so now I'm like, I bet I actually look great. But I don't. But I might not. You'll never look better. You'll never be younger than you are now. And you'll look back and be like, why was I so hard on myself then? I looked great. Mm-hmm. So I try to be mindful of that now. Even though I did put on a little bit of makeup for a Zoom call that turned out had no video. It was only audio.
But then you did one that had a video.
Then I did one that had a video. So,
Anonymous. Hi, Eliza, Emily, Silence, Scott, and Tian for the Biscuit Queen.
She's Biscuit Queen.
I have two boys that we've been keeping home since COVID. My oldest has asthma and even spent several nights in the pediatric ICU as a toddler for respiratory complications. My husband is a paramedic in nursing school. That's all the exposure risk I can tolerate. My mother-in-law loves my boys and volunteered to keep them for an evening so my husband and I could have a night alone. I learned that when she had my boys for the 2 days, she took them to the school playground down the street and let them play. I believe she thought it was safe since she lives in an extremely affluent neighborhood. She knows we haven't been
rich people don't get sick.
She knows we haven't been letting the kids go to playgrounds in our own neighborhood. There's one across the street from our house, and during a prior visit to her home, she offered to walk them up to the school, and I intervened. I feel hurt and betrayed that she took the boys to the playground and let them play with other children, no masks or distancing, when she knows the stance my husband and I are taking in this current climate. I'm also surprised that she let this happen, as she's made every indication previously that she was on the same page as us. I'm lucky to be 7 years into this marriage, not have had any tiffs or disagreements with her yet, but this feels like a massive misstep on her part. How do I respectfully confront her about this? I don't want to let this go, but I also realize that she's a permanent fixture in my life, and burning a bridge isn't something I want to do. Help me walk this tightrope, please.
Just say that. Call her and be like, I just need to talk to you. We've always seen eye to eye. We've always gotten along. I just need to communicate to you how uncomfortable and how dangerous it was because Liam, I don't know, the one son that has the respiratory issues, right? It's only one. There's two of them. There's only one.
One has asthma. Mm-hmm.
Right. Has asthma. It's a pre-existing condition. So I'm not worried that there's too many variables at that park. Another kid could have it. You could be given it. My kid could pass it on to you and get you sick. I just ask that you don't do that in the future. It would just make me more comfortable if you could just tell me that you won't. Mm-hmm. Just say it. It's your children. It's the most precious thing. You are well within your rights to say that.
Yeah.
And I do think that there is this like sort of blithe unawareness with wealthier people. Like, oh, it'll be fine. And you could even say, sometimes when you cite the other variables that people don't think about, you know, were those children taken to the park by a nanny? Where does that nanny live? Mm. Were they taken by, are you guaranteed that all the people at that park live in that neighborhood? And how are you guaranteeing that even the rich people in the neighborhood aren't getting sick?
Are those kids licking a slide and then licking your kid?
Yeah. So it's passed through. It doesn't discriminate. And just say to her, he has asthma and I would hate for him to get sick on your watch or for you to get sick.
Yeah.
So there's a reason we're being cautious. And I think she'll see it your way.
I think so. I'm sure it's that kind of thing where it's like the kids are like, let's go up and play. And you're like, oh, how bad can it be? But if you stress to her that it is a danger, that is endangering everyone.
It's exhausting to always be factoring these things in. On tour, I'm staying with my dad and my stepmom. You know, they live in Dallas and they eat on the patios and they wear the masks and he doesn't go into his office. But even he said, they were like, how are we going to have you and Hunter and your tour manager stay here? What are we thinking? Maybe like separate rooms in the house? Do we wear masks indoors? they're having to consider these things now. So it's every social situation you have to remember, oh, I can't hug my friends. Oh, we can't share the chips. And like, we're all constantly recalibrating. So I don't think you saying it in the nicest way, I don't think that that's a problem, because she probably just thought it's a playground. We're outside. Yes, the chances are lowered because you're outside, but you don't know. Mm-hmm. That mom had COVID. She kissed her kid. So, mm-hmm. And also stress that you're worried about his asthma, but you're worried about them giving it to her because she's older.
Yep.
Fun topic and times.
Top of the cob.
Tip of the pip.
It's the top of the cob. We're doing it right every day. You just take a bite. Top of the cob.
Two things. Well, this is kind of, I have a top of the cob and then I have a middle of the cob.
Okay.
And I have a bottom of the cob. My top of the cob is that I was pitching on this movie and I had an upcoming deadline, and the deadline was very soon and I only had 4 days. So I sat in this office and Emily helped for the last couple of days. I sat here for about 9 to 10 hours every day, my entire weekend. I was in this office just building this presentation, and my husband fed me. Every time I'd come out, he'd be like, what can I get you? He brought me a sandwich at like 11 o'clock at night. Like, he was so stalwart and he was so supportive in the way that he is. And he watched the presentation and he gave me some notes and some ideas. And he was just such a partner in that, and making me that food when I would have come out normally and just like eaten a carrot. Having him just make me like a veggie sandwich late at night was just so him and so appreciated. Cause I didn't have to think about what I was eating and I could dedicate. I mean, that project was due Monday at 5 PM. And I think we were adding finishing touches until like 3:30.
Tuesday at 5. You're working all day Monday, all day Tuesday.
All day Tuesday. And so I just want to say thank you to Noah. Hmm. And my middle. Okay. What's your top of the cob?
My top of the cob is related to the mouth kiss I gave Gracie. Lately, she's been sleeping on her tower, not with me. But this morning I woke up early. There was a nice sun patch. So she came over to lay in the sun patch and it happened to be near me. So I just sidled up and I put an arm around her, and she was so warm and sleepy that she didn't escape. And I was just like, yes, this is what I wanted.
I enjoy the pictures. You always look very pretty in the pictures of you and Gracie.
The only time I feel happiness, I'm in the sun. I don't go in the sun except that's where she wants to be. And so I have to go lay right. And I'm like,
the only time I get vitamin D. My middle is on an upcoming episode. We have Kayvon Novak, who plays Nandor the Relentless on What We Do in the Shadows. And I was asking him about any love interests on the show. And I was telling Noah about that. I asked him that. And he was like, what is it that you, what do you want? I was like, I just want to see him have kisses. And he was like, you know, you say that about Lucifer. I'm like, yeah, there's not a lot of kisses. I just want to see them have kisses. And he's like, it's kind of concerning, this obsession you have with your on-screen characters having kisses. And I thought that was funny that he called me out. And I was like, what? You want to see? I was like, he's like, why don't you just watch The Bachelor? And I was like, I don't want to see losers kiss. I want to see my fictional characters kiss. I want to have kisses. Anyways, I thought it was funny that he was like, you got to chill out with wanting people to kiss. Like, what? I want to see attractive people with kisses. It's no secret that I'm very attracted to Nandor. And very attracted to almost all the characters on Lucifer. Okay.
Okay. What's your bottom?
My bottom of the cob is, you know, I had my missed miscarriage and I've started talking a little bit about it on stage, and it doesn't bother me. It's very normal for people to say like, hey, are you thinking about kids? It is an invasive question, but it is an innocuous one. People mean well. And we were walking the dog, and there's a woman who's like, oh, I live on like on the next block or something. She just said hi. And she said, which house is yours? And we said, this one. She goes, oh, do you have kids? And I trying to deflect. I went, no, we have this little dog. And then, which I can't imagine you wanting any more information. She goes, oh, do you want to have kids? And I guess I just wasn't prepared for that. And I was also trying to exit because I had a call in like 5 minutes. So I was kind of in a rush. And I was like, I don't know. Because it's like, I don't fucking know you. And I left. I'm sorry. And she goes, the reason I ask is I'm a doctor of Eastern medicine, of Chinese medicine. And I'm like, okay. And then I left, and apparently Noah kept walking and she like kept asking him questions. And it really felt like it was like, I'd love to make money off of you. I'd love to assist in this, and I'd love to give you my mushrooms and herbs. And I do believe in Chinese medicine, but this thing where you're not a medical doctor. Any sort of doctor telling you that they can help you, and I don't have a fertility issue, and
It's no one's business.
It's no one's business, but like I have a friend also who can't get pregnant. And a chiropractor said to her, I can help you with that. So giving this unsolicited, like pseudo medical advice, this snake oily thing, even if I do believe in chiropractors and I do believe in Chinese medicine, saying it like that, what are you doing?
I'm thinking.
Oh my God, your lips are moving and you're just staring like down at my knee and you're... I just think it's incredibly dangerous and you're giving people hope where there isn't. And just the idea, like, I can help you with that. I'm like, oh, you? Not all the science and fertility specialists and doctor, like, so it's you. Got it. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'll just drink the seahorse. Cool.
My bottom is I love doing the interview segment of my podcast so much. And Eliza, do you know that you're in every episode?
No.
There's a small, there's a small clip of when you call my podcast Strong Female Leads that I worked into my intro song.
I love that.
But I love doing the interviews, but before every single one, I feel so sick the night before with anxiety. I get so nervous about it. I feel like I have a job interview and I am so overprepared to the point that I have like so many pages of notes that we're never going to get to. Right. I'm so overprepared that I'm just like, what if it's weird? Every time, like, and the 5 minutes before I log into the call, I'm just like, this is it.
Oh my
God. I feel
God.
So worried every time.
But you still do it.
I still do it. And the stakes could not be lower.
Could not be lower.
I mean, these people could hate me, but it's like, I'll never see them again. We're not even in person. Mm. It doesn't, but.
It's still the person you saw on screen.
Yeah.
Which creates that weirdness.
Yeah.
I like that. Stay wondrous. Stay magical. Stay young. Stay inquisitive.
Scared.
Be a wanderer. A wanderer. Stay scared. And Tianfu, you stay suspicious.
At Delta, we know Mike in 8C prefers reality TV to reality. So we provide more than 1,000 hours of in-flight entertainment. On the next flight, 8C is Mandy, a foodie. So we offer all types of food options. Because at Delta, everyone flies their own way. Delta, keep climbing.
Life is a highway. And on it, there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.